Nerd Soul.
I'm a writer, creator. I am the writer of Iznana the Were-Spider, based off of the stories of Anansi the Spider from West Africa and Caribbean folklore. My character is his son. I use the series as a way to introduce people to more Black mythological gods and heroes, because, you know, in school is not really required for us to be educated on them. So as the series goes on, they meet and interact with characters from Africa, African mythology, Caribbean folktales, and African American stories and spiritualities, just to showcase that we have our own gods and heroes from all our various Black cultures that we can draw stories on.
Well, now, when you began to write this and kind of like form it, did you have an idea of where you wanted to go, or was it just like, I want to tell stories about, you know, African gods, folklore, and stuff like that? Or did you, was it like a clear vision, like, oh, okay, it's going to be a kid like this, and it's going to be, you know, how did that work out for you?
Well, so what generally inspired it was, so I grew up on Greek mythology. That was my thing. Like, I can school so many people on so much Greek mythology. When I was in class, whether it was grade school or even college, whenever I had like a Greek mythology class, I was always the one raising their hands, or sometimes I would even school the teachers and they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, look it up. So, but it wasn't until high school, I found a book that one of my art teachers had on just mythology from all over the world. And I was curious. I was like, yo, you know, what Black gods are out there? Because I didn't really know any, except for like Anansi that we would find out from, you know, PBS or something like that. And so I looked up like Haitian spirituality and mythology and stuff. And I was just like, whoa, because my background is Haitian. And I didn't know any of that stuff. And when I would ask my mom would be like, don't you dare. No, we don't talk about that. And I was like, whoa. And I asked my pops, and my pops was like, oh yeah, I got mad stories, let me tell you. You know, so from there it became like a thing, and I started like gradually, little by little, introducing myself to a couple of different like deities from African spirituality. I started looking up some folk tales that we had, and I remember like asking people if they even know who Anansi the Spider was, especially like Black people. And I would get like a lot of, who is that? And I was just like, okay, I can understand not knowing a lot of our Black gods and heroes and deities, but Anansi? You don't know Anansi? So that became pretty much the inspiration for creating Iznana, because in a sense, I was like, yo, our stories are dying if like even us Black folks don't even know who our gods and our stories are. And so I wanted Iznana to represent like the next generation, you know, him being the son of Anansi the Spider, as like a character who's going to be introducing people to more of these different figures and deities while he's also, you know, learning to be his own person at the same time, you know, so sort of like keeping tradition, but hopefully modernizing it and continuing on, you know, where we come from, where our stories come from, and how they can reflect who we are today as Black folk.
Word up, word up. And I definitely agree with you. Like, in American culture, there's definitely, well, there's always been a suppression of any type of tie to any history before arriving here. And I remember even in season one, and definitely season two of American Gods, a lot of people were like, oh, who's this guy named Anansi? Yo, homie is on fire. And like, even I knew that there were different gods, you know, different African gods, but I was never like really exposed to them. And then due to kind of like the climate and the culture that we're in, I was never really pushed to like go seek it out either. So things like this, I think, are cool in a way to kind of like gradually and casually just bring it in. Like the way you talk about the plane, and I guess I'll get into the book later, but just the way you talk about like different things that Iznana is going through in this book, and at least in the copy that I got, in the book that I have, where it's more of just a gradual and casual telling of like the life he lives, which I think is really, really cool. It gives the reader a chance to be like, oh, okay, cool. So this isn't like something that's some distant concept. You know, like I'm able to like have a good time watching this or reading this. And then also like I'm getting like little tidbits here and there that kind of invite me to research further. So I thought that was fun. Now, since I guess we've talked about a little bit of the book, you're also launching something. You're launching something today. You know, if you could, please let the people know what you're launching.
Yeah, so I actually just launched like about 2 hours ago. but it's the next Kickstarter for It's Not the Worst Spider. I've done three previously already. For It's Not, and this is the fourth one. And for this one, it's a one shot that's following Is Nana, where he meets a group of breakdancers. You know, I was inspired originally by a couple of different things. I had students, because I'm a teaching artist. I teach for various art programs. And a couple of years ago, I had these great, amazing students who were breakdancers, and that was their thing, you know? And I was always just so wowed and amazed by their talent. And I have a huge love for Showtime dancers, the usually the youth that dances on the trains and here in New York City. You know, every time I see them, I'm always making sure I put some couple of dollars in, you know. And I wanted to use this book as sort of like a tribute to them, because a lot of it is traditionally, it's like black urban culture in a sense. And so that still goes into what I wanted to do with Is Nana. You know, while still keeping in line with who he is and the fact that it is a coming of age story. And I felt the previous stories, I didn't really get to hone so much on the coming of age aspect and the fact that he's actually still a kid, you know, doing all these crazy things that he's involved in. And so I wanted him to have some time where he can just be a kid, you know, and he can meet, you know, some urban kids in the city and hopefully, you know, just learn a little bit about himself and also get people to understand who some of these kids are.
Word up. And the thing that I like here is you really see his progression throughout the book, where he's definitely a fish out of water, you know, like he says. But not only is he a fish out of water, it's endearing, because he's a fish out of water that he's not stupid. It's more of a eye-opening journey, you know, on a couple of days in the city. And I think that's pretty cool, where it isn't a situation where he's goofy or clueless. But it's genuine, the way he relates to the three kids that he meets on his journey, and even how he deals with kind of like their culture and kind of like stepping into the everyday culture of city life there. So I thought that was like endearing, where he was sort of like, you know, standoffish but ready to learn. And sweet, you know what I'm saying? Like a sweet kid. He's generally a good kid. I mean, unless he gotta send you back to the other plane, then then he's not that sweet. But I do like the fact that you were able to like kind of capture that childlike, inquisitive nature, while not making him like dumb. And also the dance moves, guys, when you check out the book, check out the art, the dance moves, the way you throw in, like, just like the gestures and kind of like the positions and the poses, it has a very hip hop vibe to it, which is really cool. And then, you know, incorporating like the music notes and stuff, I thought that was a lot of fun. So just seeing how the dealings with him coming, you know, from a completely different plane And then dealing with their sort of everyday life of like dancing, but also dealing with police. And then also, you know, like, you know, sharing with one another, being part of a crew and stuff like that. I just thought that was very unique in a way where we don't always get that kind of explanation for, you know, for what kids are going through at this time, especially at a time such as this. So I enjoyed it a lot. I definitely like how you used, you know, his surroundings to kind of like bring about his awareness. Speaking of the plane, if you could, for those people checking us out right now, when we talk about the, I guess, the different plane he's from the Mother Kingdom and all that, break that down for them.
Okay, so before I get into that, I do want to shout out to the different artists that was involved with the books. The one who really, really helped out with, I guess, that surrounding that you're talking about and the musical notes. You know, Miguel Blanco, he is an amazing artist, and he understands, you know, city life, New York, Philly, that's where he's been. So when I was searching for an artist for this book, I definitely wanted somebody who knew the culture. He did all these really dope stuff with the lettering, with the hip hop beats and everything like that. So, as for the plane, essentially, so Esnana comes from a different realm called the Mother Kingdom, and that's where a lot of you have a lot of different characters that you're from. If you're familiar with the Anansi, the spider sort of stories, mythology, that's where he's sort of from. And you find out that there's a whole bunch of different realms and universes that you have various mythological and spirituality figures they sort of inhabit. And Esnana accidentally breaks that when he comes to Earth looking for Anansi, who was missing for a little bit of time. And in doing that, it sort of creates these different portals from different realms where a lot of these figures have been sort of jumping into different worlds, and not just Earth, but just they're just going different places, and some of them are very malicious and causing issues where they're from. And so Esnana is trying to stop a lot of them and bring them back to where they're supposed to be.
Word, especially when we roll up on a certain character that is definitely somewhere that he should not be. And without spoiling, there's some interesting action here, and there's some interesting statements on culture and society as well. I do like, at the end, there's an epilogue where we see some retribution that I like. So, you know, it's always good to get some retribution. I enjoy that. When dealing with art and writing, who are you? I guess the question would be like, when you write this, you're drawing, you're working on it, all that good stuff. Who are you making this for? Who do you want to communicate these stories or this story to?
So I am a huge Toni Morrison fan. Mm-hmm. James Baldwin, those are my people, you know. And so when people usually ask me that, I usually say, I come from the school of Toni Morrison, you know, and if you know what I mean by that, so all her writing was just very black, you know, and she wrote about different black issues or interpersonal issues that black folks go through with each other, how society reflects, you know, our upbringings of being black and so on and so forth. And so her audience was always, you know, black folk. And so that's usually been my thing as well. You know, I mean, I'm cool with anyone else, you know, jumping on board, reading the book, checking it out. But my audience that I want to write for is, you know, just black folks who've been looking for types of stories like this, who want to use it to learn, hopefully do some research afterwards. And especially black folks who have been wanting to see more black leads in fantasy, mm-hmm. you know, in fantasy and horror, mythology, stuff like that. So that way we're no longer the side characters, that we can just be main characters, you know, where we just feel normal. And so that's generally what I do in my writing, what I want.
All right, random question. How many, is there a count of how many powers is Nana has? Because homie, that I saw, I counted up about like 4 different powers. And then I guess sub powers too, because dude is able to like kind of like talk between realms too. So I guess you could consider that a power. But I was like, homie got some powers.
He got a lot. He got a lot. So I don't know the count. It's funny because when you asked me to put his powers, and I was just like, and at first I started going through my head, but then I was like, wait, I know I sent someone this similar list, and I was going through. I'm like, yo, homeboy can do so much, you know. And honestly, it's
yeah.
You know when you watch anime, and you have like My Hero Academia and like Naruto. Like, you have these characters, and sometimes the powers are just very simple, but the way they use it, you know, like, and they use it in completely different ways for each different battle, you know, they'll find creative ways to use their ability. Mm-hmm. And so, I feel like Iznana, he's still learning, especially the fact that he doesn't really like to fight. And so, but then he'll think of creative ways to sort of get out of a situation, and then if his back is to the wall, he'll find a way to use it as an offense, you know? And so, for me, it goes hand in hand with the fact that Anansi is a trickster himself, you know, and he's always thinking of creative ways to get out of his issues. And it's the same with a lot of original African and African-American folklore. They were always using tricks. And so Iznana is always trying to find ways he can use his powers in creative ways, you know, and sometimes they just come out, you know, like, let me just try something. And
yeah, because apparently anything he tries, he's like top notch at. Only take you a week to be like. It was like a week. Like, you watch BET for a week and you this good?
I know, right? I know for me, if I was dancing all my life and then some Negro comes and tells me, yeah, I started dancing a week ago and they're doing all this crazy stuff, I would have been tight. So I understood where the kids were coming from.
A week? That's it?
Oh, man.
Like, that's all? Oh, man. So you have the Kickstarter out. You've been pushing this, and the art is really cool. And we kind of know why or who you're writing for. One of the biggest questions that I ask people that come on the show is, do you think about legacy? And if you do, what do you want your legacy to be?
Yes, I do think about legacy. Aside from wanting to be a pops very soon, hopefully. In terms of my work, I just want to inspire people to do, you know, things that they want to do that they've never done before. If you haven't seen it being done, but you want it, be that person to bring it out, you know? Like, that's what I've been doing. You know, we grow up saying, oh, why can't we get more of this? I want to see more of this. And then we complain. And can I say the B word? Can I say the B word? I don't know. Can I?
I'll let it slide.
We witch about it. they witch about it. But It's really about putting action into words into action. Sorry, you know, it's I wanna inspire people to do their own research and do something different that they want to tell. If you're not seeing a particular type of story that you want to see that reflects who you are, just do it yourself.
Word. And I feel you on that, because before I started Nerd Soul, I remember complaining heavily about like different content on YouTube. Just remember complaining heavily. And I was just like, you know what? I can't complain no more. Like, it's time to make something. it's time to go in and, you know, hold it down and try to do something cool. But with that said, guys, holla at us. We'll holla at you down in the comments. check the description. The link is below for the Kickstarter. Check it out. It's Not of the Wear Spider is awesome. I definitely like the way you deal with webs or webbing in this, because I know it seems weird, but it seems like there's a weight to it that I like. It's just weightless. It actually seems like it's kind of it. There's a little heft to it because of how large a human being is. Or I mean, I guess. Would he be considered a human? I don't know what he'd be considered. But anyway, I don't know if he'd be considered human. But with that said, it's a lot of fun to read. Very interesting character. And the fact that we're incorporating African gods, folklore, and stuff like that, outside of the, all throughout the diaspora, I think it's really cool. I really enjoyed it. So guys, like we said, the links below. Check it out. Cool art, cool writing, a character that's endearing. I really enjoyed it. Before we bounce, if you could, there's moments where music is playing for the dancers. Could you tell us what kind of music you think was playing?
It's definitely hip hop. Definitely hip hop, a little bit of some dance. Hopefully it's like a mix of like hip hop and techno. That's what I had in mind when I was writing the scene. And then when I started seeing the art for the scene, it was sort of like, yeah, I'm starting to get that,
All right.
Yeah. But honestly, like go on YouTube and just look up Showtime dances on the train.
They don't. Yeah. They stuff look dangerous, but they don't. Like, I ain't doing it. But they want you to do a backflip in the middle of the train. I'm like, the train is not big enough for all this. Unless you're gonna hurt yourself.
And the train is moving too.
And the train's moving. But yeah, definitely. Like Showtime dances are dope. The artwork is killer on this. And a very cool, endearing character. So guys, holla at us, we'll holla at you before we get out of here. Greg, tell them where they can find you.
So they can find me at Greg A. Lacelyse on Facebook, on IG, just type in Greg Dade. On Twitter, Greg Andelyse. I have a website, webway.ecwid.com, where you can find, whatever is Nana stuff you want, whether it's the book, it's digital, trading cards, merchandise like t-shirts, you can find stuff like that. And right now I'm running a Kickstarter, as we said earlier. Just type in It's Not a Wear Spider Showtime Kickstarter on Google. It should pop up.
What up? And guys, of course, NERDSOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all in places. Hit the thumbs up. If you like what you're seeing, hit the thumbs down. But if you don't like what you're seeing, hit that thumbs down. Send It's Not I after you. All right? You don't want that. Spiders are weird anyway. All right? They're already weird. They got a small body, a big butt. All right? 8 legs. It's weird. You don't want them crawling all over you. All right? I'm just saying. Even though recently, with recent, activity, we could use some Anansi right now. But with that said, of course, podcasts if you want to listen instead of look, and Spotify for that music. Of course, until next time, this is us to you saying thanks for chilling with us and peace. Yeah.